Dedicated to an examination of areas in the human experience not easily nor neatly put in a box. Things seen at the edge of vision, awakening a part of the mind as yet not mapped, and yet things every bit as real as the air we breathe but don't see. This is Dreamland.
It absolutely is. Good evening, everybody. Another Sunday evening, another Dreamland underway. I'm Art Bell. Got an interesting show planned for you this evening. Linda Howe, an investigative journalist, an Emmy Award-winning investigative journalist, used to produce TV documentaries and sort of investigated her way into the world of crop circles and animal mutilations. And, you know, it's kind of it's a funny thing. I got a fax tonight regarding the very person that she's going to be interviewing, Ingle Swann. And I'll read a portion of that here in a moment. It is a small world. So Linda's coming up from Philadelphia, followed by scientist astronaut Brian O'Leary. He'll be here from Maui, Hawaii. And I have good, very fond memories of Maui, where I once lived, for about 6 months. And so that's on tap for this evening. A couple of notes.
Just that remote viewing is only 15% reliable. And he was only caught media this past week.
Nobody knows the real story of remote viewing. The media has no idea what remote viewing is. The American public certainly has no idea. And so they're all getting off on this, look at the government. Spending wasting money on psychic research. Well, it wasn't psychic research. It was trend analysis of this kind of stuff going on in the Soviet Union. And it was imperative at the time that threat analysis be undertaken. Everybody approved it from Congress. Congress would be regularly for many years. Progress of our project and everything.
But from your point of view, how strong and reliable was remote viewing during those Cold War years?
We had to aim for 65% in order to be competitive with the other conventional forms of intelligence gathering, and we did achieve that.
You would achieve 65% accuracy?
Oh, yes. Well, we wouldn't have been in business without
you. Yes.
We had to become competitive, or compatible at least, with these other conventional forms of intelligence gathering, or we wouldn't have had a penny more.
And if you could be that reliable, then why would there be at this point in the fall of 1995 the kind of relief from the Central Intelligence Agency that has just come out questions this and says it's only 15% reliable?
I don't know. Nobody understands the work of the CIA, do
you? No.
No, I don't think anybody does, and I think that the CIA might not understand their workings a lot of the time, too. I don't know. But I was completely stunned when I was sent a copy of that release. And I think every other person that was involved with the project, you know, there were easily over 500 to 1,000 people who must have been totally flummoxed, too. So, but I don't know. I mean, I've never been able to answer all the questions, and I certainly can't answer that, but I think that the real reason will surface here one of these days. But in this case, some of the documents from 73, 74, and 75 have been declassified. And these are some of the 8 Martini things that that Norm person referred to on the Nightline program.
Well, could you explain to our Dreamland audience what the 8 Martini is?
The 8 Martini remote viewing event is one that is so really astonishingly good that it breaks everybody's realities, and they have to go out and drink 8 Martinis to recover. That's what it means.
Did you ever have an 18 remote viewing?
Oh, yes.
can you give an idea?
Every time, you see, every time I've seen it happen with me or with other people, it's so amazing each time it happens. You never get get used to it, you know. Mm-hmm. And it just blows your mind. And the really good ones just blow you away.
What would be one of your best?
One of the best ones was probably the one that happened, one of those that happened in 1973, after I said to the project at SRI that we would offer remote viewing as for testing by the sponsors, you know. So they shipped out a coordinate and there was a big to-do about it. And it turned out to be, the coordinate was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. I said, there's only water here. And so Dr. Putoff, who was working with me, said, well, there must be something around here. Look around and see what you can see. So sort of in the haze, this sort of land sticking up. And I said, well, there's a seashore. We can all go over there and look at that. So it turned out that this was an island. And I said, well, I can call it an island, but that's not enough data to show that this is, you know, that's just an average guess that there would be an island here. So we decided that I should draw the contour of the island. And we didn't have paper big enough in this locked room we were in, so we had to put a lot of sheets together as I was tracing the shoreline of this island. And it's almost a perfect match for the island, which was Kerguelen an island in the South Atlantic. And then I put some buildings on it and everything, and they had some outhouses which were sort of orange tents, and there was bird doo-doo everywhere. You know, the birds were in a dump in the lotto. So on and so on. And I said, well, that's some kind of research going on here. But it turned out not only was the contours really recognizable of that island in all respects, but that it happened to be a joint Soviet-French research installation. And when the gossip got out that their secret remote, the secret research station had been penetrated by a psychic, they protested, the French and the Soviets protested to Washington unofficially.
Yeah, that
got into the gossip line too, but we were blown away.
Well, how did they protest, in writing to the president?
I don't know how they protested, but the phone calls, the switchboard was lighting up. Said, oh boy, what a fuss you've made here.
But you were that accurate.
Well, I mean, you know, if you look at it, you can say 65% very easily. And more, actually. And this is before our project got classified, even. That's been published in the public domain. So that was the first one that really blew us away. Not only because of the remote viewing and the quality of it, but because of the repercussions and the impact it caused.
If you were that accurate that two foreign nations would actually respond to Washington.
But that was a spontaneous thing. You can call that spontaneous RV. It was definitely 65% or more efficient. And do you know what the result was?
What?
We got offered more money.
Right.
Right. Okay, that's the bottom line, right?
And they kept going on like that for at least 20 years.
Yeah, they kept going on like that for, well, for 18 years that I know of, actually.
Well, isn't there a point where you were remote viewing at least one Soviet submarine and saw something that was like a disc behind it?
Yes. That was so top secret that way. And it's how Drum put it in his book out there.
Right. Right.
That's how he got a hold of it. It just blew me away. Because I know what the tickets were on that one, you know.
Yeah. Well, did you personally, I mean, do you feel at this day it was a UFO behind a submarine?
Well, if you read Haglund's book, you'll see the whole thing. He got it all right, except that the table was round and not square.
Mm-hmm.
And there was all sorts of rats sitting there, and Putoff was on my left, and this 2 or 3 sergeant general was on my right, and I was touching away, and they gave me the cord, and I was touching away. This is one of these big test things that went on, you know, with witnesses, and the room was filled. And so I was doing my remote viewing, you know, boogaloo.
Right.
They were processing it. I stopped it in my tracks, and I looked at that. I go, oh, my God. So I whispered over in Hal's ear, and I said, Hal, I didn't know what to do. I think this submarine shot down a UFO, or the UFO fired on it. What shall I do? And put off with his tail as an egg, you know.
Oh, my God.
And he looked at me, and he said, whispered back. He said, oh, Christ. And he goes, it's show, you do what you think you should do. So I just simply sketched out this picture of the UFO and this bar sitting on my right hand. He grabbed it from me and he says, "What's that, Mr. Swan?" And I said, "Sir, I think it's rather obvious." And he took that paper and he stood up, and when he stood up, everybody else stood up except me and put off. And they walked out of the room. All of them. So pretty soon I went back to the hotel and I said, "Oh gosh, we've blown the program." So we went out and got drunk on margaritas and things like that. Went back there for that. So 2 days later, put off, got a call. The call said, "Okay, how much money do you want?"
Wow. Did you ever see anything like that disc again in any of the other remote viewing sessions you did?
No, but, well, not for the, not none of them for the sponsors, but, you know, we did a lot of playing around in private work and things like that.
And you encountered the discs and into this issue of the, a non-human intelligence?
Well, this complicates this particular issue. I'll only say that I know we are not alone.
Right. So, Art, there it is, from the master teacher and the inventor of remote viewing, that he has a different view on the reliability and the ability for remote viewing to work with other intelligence gathering methods to find some things that they might not have found otherwise.
Sometimes the flow of my program scares me. I don't know how we do it. In other words, we'll open up on some topic during the week, and there you will be. Some popping up right on Dreamline. That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. All right, Linda, as usual, we're way short on time. So let us have your address, contact number, fax numbers, date of birth, social security number, whatever.
Okay. I just felt that this is really important, and it was very interesting to hear right from the inventor's mouth tonight. And me, Linda Howe, my address is Post Office Box 538, Huntingdon Valley, Pennsylvania. The zip code is 19006. And I do keep confidences on names for anybody who wants to communicate with me. My fax number is area code 215-491-9840. And the 800 toll-free number for information about my books and documentaries that have focused on investigations of the animal mutilations, crop circles, the human abduction syndrome, government knowledge, cover-up, all of that. The number is 800-707-9993. That's 800-707-9993. And I always look forward to hearing from our viewers. There are some amazing stories out there.
Well, you're still back in your TV days, unless they're staring at the grill of the radio. Yeah, there you are. All right, Linda, wonderful, a wonderful right-on-the-money report, and boy, there's a lot to think about out there.
Good.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Art.
Take care. That is, of course, Linda Howe, and generally, I think she is, she hates me to say this, but she is the leading investigative journalist, we'll put it that way, into crop circles and animal mutilations.